All right, welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is Sunday evening, and the Noles are, 6-0 now, Richie. A convincing win, despite some people that are just miserable on social media. A pretty convincing win on Saturday. The Noles get it done, 41-3 against Syracuse. Still undefeated, still in the top five of the AP poll, the coaches poll. Obviously, none of that really matters until the college football playoff rankings come out, and then I guess those don't even really matter until the end of the year. But we'll talk about them when they happen. Richie, how's your weekend been?
Good, man. I had to watch the game on delay yesterday. I was at a one-year-old's birthday party. That was a blast, let me tell you. But no, shout out my buddy Cody, his wife Sarah, and their lovely kid Luca. But yeah, I was getting, you know, texts left and right. Really started when the Keon Coleman catch happened. And then I found I got the notification from my ESPN app about the catch, and I saw it. I was like, my goodness. But yeah, just got home, was able to watch the whole second half, and then rewatched the game again today. And it was just total domination from start to finish. And that's what you wanted to see. You know, Vegas said this was a 17.5-point spread. They doubled that up and beat them by 38. That's exactly what you want to see by Florida State at this point in the season.
Yeah, I think, and we'll talk about this a little bit, but, you know, I think that fans get frustrated because, you know, they know what the offense is capable of. And so any drive that stalls, they're just like, oh my goodness, well, how could this drive ever stall? Like, how could you only be up 17-3 at the half? It doesn't matter that you scored, you know, 24 points in the second half to make this like embarrassing. You know, had to punt what? I mean, you got stopped on 2 fourth downs, and we'll talk about all of it here in a minute. But yeah, it's funny to watch the fan base kind of, you know, be frustrated at a 38-point win, you know, when teams like Alabama are, you know, barely skating by. Arkansas, I saw Vandy cut it to 7 points at one point. Or what did they cut it to 10? Vandy cut it like really close to Georgia late in the second half yesterday. And so it's funny to watch our fan base. I get it. They want to win every game 80-14. I think the big thing was they watched 2013 just absolutely dominate every single opponent. So they kind of want that. But this was a 41-3-point win. Like, I don't know what more people truly want out of it. But anyway, Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's. We've got a night game coming up this weekend. Should be a lot of fun. But Guthrie's in Tallahassee. If you're going to Tally for the game this weekend, be safe, have fun, and make sure you stop by Guthrie's. Make sure you get your gut box, Double Fries No Slaw. Best way to do it, get an extra gut sauce and roll. They're kind of recession proof. Those prices really haven't gone up very much either. So shout out to Guthrie's for being awesome. It was 30-20. Vandy cut it to a 10-point game in the fourth quarter yesterday. That's pretty crazy, though, to only be up by 10 on Vandy. I mean, even UF blew them out. So, all right, Richie, Florida State wins fairly convincingly. Probably one of the more impressive results from yesterday. Syracuse, a team that was 4-2 coming into it. There were only two losses to Clemson and North Carolina. I don't think Syracuse was great by any means, but this game was never in doubt for the Noles. Just initial thoughts watching, you know, I mean, they dominated every single category. You wrote the yards out here, 535, the 261. I mean, it wasn't, you know, oh, Florida State played okay and then, you know, capitalized on a few massive Syracuse mistakes. I mean, actually, the biggest Syracuse mistake Florida State didn't even capitalize on, really probably should have been about 50-3. But just overall thoughts on the game in general.
Yeah, shout out to Thornhauser there real quick with the super chat. The national championship, hey, listen, if they win these next 7 games and are 13-0, they will be in the college football playoff. And at that point, you just got to win 2 games. So it's definitely a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But yeah, this game, to me, TJ, was exactly what I wanted to see this week. I didn't want to see a game where you win, you know, 34-17, where you look back and you're like, you know, we still won. We did enough to get by, and, you know, it wasn't really in doubt, but at the same time, didn't really impress me. This was an impressive win, and I know Syracuse is banged up. They were missing a several key players, but for them to not even find the end zone is amazing. And really, they only had a chance for 6 points in the whole game. They had the one missed field goal. That's exactly what you want to see in a game like this. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, TJ, after Clemson, how this month was Florida State's, you know, quote unquote, easy stretch to before they get ramped up for the end of the season run. And they've certainly handled things the way they've had to. A primetime top 15 matchup in Doak coming up into Saturday night. I think Florida State opened as a 16.5 point favorite, now 13.5. So a lot of the early money is on Duke, but we'll talk a lot about that on Wednesday. But man, what an exciting time to be a Florida State fan. You know, people were complaining, like you said. I don't have any complaints right now, TJ. I'm just excited, enjoying the season. We're halfway through it with a perfect record and just did exactly what we were supposed to do against a bad Syracuse team.
Yeah, this is what you wanted to see. And, you know, they started quick. You know, they came out and scored again on their first drive, forced a three and out, scored, forced another, you know, forced Syracuse a punt two more times, kicked a field goal. Syracuse gets a field goal. You get a touchdown. And essentially it's over at that point. Like Syracuse wasn't going to come back from, you know, being down two scores on the road. I mean, you kind of knew you had it. And yeah. So you had a couple of chances at the end of the half to try and get points, a couple of turnovers on downs, one inside the 5 yard line. I thought it was the right call to go for the touchdown there. I think you get the ball inside the five, you go for it. It, you know, you ended up doing very well with, you know, forcing another three and out where they lost yardage. So I didn't have a huge problem with not kicking the field goal there. I didn't have a huge problem with on fourth and one going for it on the Syracuse 26. I think you really wanted to, you know, if you're up 14, you really want to stretch that out to 21. I didn't love the play call there. I think the offense is too good to be gimmicky. I don't think you need to line Jaheim Bell up and do something tricky. I think you can get up under center and you should be able to dominate Syracuse in the trenches and just get that extra yard. But I think you're nitpicking if you're, you know, oh, my biggest problem with the game was Mike Norvell's play call on fourth and one. I think Norvell would probably do that over again in a different way if he could. But I think he also trusts his guys and, you know,
yeah.
Execution means a lot. And if he wanted Jaheim Bell to go out and get a yard there and the offensive line to get enough push to do it, I just think, you know, having Jordan in there, you know, Mike's obviously a much better. I don't mean to question too much of what he does, but having Jordan in there is you have the threat of both run and pass and his legs. So really like three options. Whereas if Jaheim Bell takes the snap, I mean, you kind of know what's coming. So anyway, but yeah, if that's your biggest nitpick with the game is Mike Norvell's exactly. Play call on one play where you win a game by 40, it's hard to be incredibly upset. Okay. Keon Coleman's catch, possibly. You know, possibly one of the best catches we've seen in a long, like we see these catches, you know, we're somewhat like desensitized to it. Like Ricky Pearsall had a really good one the other day. You see guys like Odell Beckham and other guys now in the league, Justin Jefferson, like make pretty ridiculous catches like this all the time. And Thorne, I changed the text on here that said your name and I don't know why it's not updating, bro. My producer's called out sick today. So, it's just me and Richie, but
damn it.
But anyway, so I'll put your name up there in a minute when I learn how to be smart enough to do it. But yeah, that catch, I don't know, it's going to go down as one of those plays for FSU. Like one of those plays where you're like, holy crap. Shout out Molina who got a great picture of it. I saw some other people got really, really good pictures of it. Our thumbnail for today is the first down point that he had right afterwards. So thoughts on that catch. And then I want to talk a little bit about the defense.
Yeah. I love how casual he was with that first down because yeah, it's a little cocky to throw the first down signal, but he did it so casually after that catch. You know, it reminded me of Calvin Johnson, a catch he had at Georgia Tech where, you know, that one was a little more athletic because he literally had to reach behind himself and was like flying horizontal, but man, Keon Coleman, when you, I was with a lot of Gator friends when I saw the video happen and showed it to them. And once I told them that he was in the top 8 in minutes for Michigan State in basketball playing for Tom Izzo, like, yeah, that kid's an athlete. And a lot of them are Jags fans. Like, we really hope we get him because obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. will probably be the first receiver off the board. Keon Coleman's going to be a 10-year vet in the NFL. This guy, he was a absolute steal in the portal. Michigan State fans, you know, I don't think he has any regrets leaving that organization after what happened up to there. We won't get into that, but man, that was a ridiculous catch. And to do it at home in Doak, and I believe it led to a touchdown drive, just a beautiful thing to see. Because like you mentioned, TJ, that's one of those ones next year when you go to a game when they're playing at home against Georgia Tech or whoever it may be, that will be in the pregame reel, that catch. And, you know, it's one of those plays that will definitely live in memory for Florida State fans.
Yeah, no doubt. Second half comes out. Actually, we'll talk about defense here in just a sec, but we'll talk a little defense, talk some big picture, and then talk recruiting, some other stuff, look around the league, and then we'll get out of here. We won't be on super long tonight. So if you're watching, make sure you hit that thumbs up button and make sure that you're subscribed as well. Of course, hit the super chat. I'll try and be a little bit more on it this time. Again, one man show here running the thing. And well, I got Richie, but you know, one man show running the thing with Harlan out. So I'm going to keep giving him a hard time. Jordan Travis, 284 yards, 23 of 37, a touchdown, no picks, two touchdowns on the ground. Had probably five drops that maybe hurt his numbers a little bit. Would have gone well over 300. Probably have a second touchdown if Trey or Kyle hold on to a ball. Trey's was right in front of the end zone. I think he'd have fallen in. Kyle's was in the back of the end zone. But 23 of 37, maybe could have been a little sharper at times, but also may have probably should have been, you know, 28 of 35 if there weren't some of those drops. So I thought JT was better this week. You know, not insane numbers by any means, but I thought he did a good job pulling the ball down there on the goal line to get that rushing touchdown. I thought he was, you know, pretty good. I mean, I didn't have a lot of complaints there. He missed a couple of passes, missed a couple of throws. But I'm not expecting him to, you know, throw an absolute dot, an absolute bullet every single time he's out there. So thoughts on JT?
Yeah, he was fine. He's exactly what we needed him to be. You know, he recognized that, you know, what was going on, that the long touchdown to Keon up the left sideline, you know, the slant and go, a beautiful route. We're just going to, you know, Keon Coleman, man, he is that dude. And I thought he was fine. Like you mentioned, he knew when to pull it and when to run. And I think the biggest thing for me is he looks healthy, right? He's not playing with any hesitancy. He just looks like a healthy quarterback that is operating a really good offense. And again, we would have loved to score 70 yesterday, but I'm very happy with the 41 points we got. Especially, we'll talk about Hakeem in a little bit probably, but man, the future is also bright in Tallahassee, TJ.
Yeah, Hakeem and Julian playing really well on that play that Hakeem scored on. Trey Benson up and down. I mean, he ended up covering his over under that I took on Prize Picks. So hopefully you guys are on the Prize Picks app that we tell you about every single week. But Trey was good. Who else? Lawrence Toa Philly.
LT was good, man.
LT had a really good day. And so I thought that was encouraging to see. What do you have? 93 yards and a touchdown. That run up the left side was really, really good. Second half, Florida State just absolutely dominates. Touchdown, field goal, touchdown on, and then a touchdown, and then one to end the game where Florida State did kneel the ball. Shout out Mario Cristobal. Completely dominating in the second half. Cruises to victory. All right, I want to talk a little bit about the defense. I sent you this, and I want to pull it up real quick and talk about it. But Florida State's first-team defense this year, I think this is pretty impressive. If I do their net scoring, so how much they scored versus how much they gave up, right? So it's 17 points against LSU. It's 6 against Southern Miss because they gave up 13, but they scored a touchdown. So I'm going to call their net scoring 6.
Pick 6, yep.
22 against Boston College. That's kind of the outlier at this point. 17 against Clemson because he had another pick 6. 10 against Virginia Tech. I'm not holding the kickoff return against the first team defense, obviously. And then 3 against Syracuse. That averages out to 12.5 a game. And again, BC is the one that's kind of an outlier. I mean, you certainly gave that up against BC, but man, I'll take that. In fact, if all of those games were 22, you win every one of them. So it doesn't really matter. You know, I think that, you know, giving up an average of 12.5 a game is really, really impressive. And I don't think Syracuse is an amazing offense by any means. I mean, you saw what North Carolina did to them. North Carolina held them to 40-3 last week. And so we one-upped that just a tad. But they scored, you know, 14 points on Clemson. They put 35 up on Purdue. They scored 65 and 48 against a couple of pretty bad teams. And so they're an offense that knows how to move the ball at times. I mean, but Actually, Clemson, I'm sorry, North Carolina, they did give up a touchdown. So it was 40-7 instead of 41-3. But yeah, I think that this defense, I don't think they're elite. And I think that they're still going to frustrate fans at times. People are going to talk about the yardage that they give up. And, you know, we've talked about this kind of ad nauseum, but like, we're going to give up yardage and we are going to give up at times big plays. And I think we're going to play that bend don't break defense and then bow up in the red zone. And we have one of the best red zone defenses in the country. And, which got better this week. You know, they got in and missed another short field goal. And so I don't know. I think the Noles are as impressed as good as this offense could be. This defense is really what gives me a lot of confidence. We'll talk about Duke a ton this week, Richie, but why I'm not super worried about Duke is that I know that if NC State held them to 24 points, that my defense is holding them to like 17. You know, if they're playing well, the first team defense has the opportunity to hold Duke to like 14, 17 points. You know, I think this is one of the better defenses in the country. And I mean, and they're playing like it right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we oftentimes, you know, get lost in the final result because we don't like how we got to that result. And I think that's where the frustration comes from with Florida State fans. And, you know, I don't blame them. We're all fans, right? We're watching a game. We're emotional. It happens. But this is a really good defense. And, you know, I think Adam Fuller, when he first got to Florida State, you know, quite frankly, he didn't have any good players, right? That's the situation he walked into. Now he does have good players, and the defense is playing really well. You can talk about total yards all you want. If you're talking to me about total yards, that's an argument from like 2005. There's no reason we should be getting upset about total yards in the year 2023, TJ. This defense is a damn good defense, and I love the way they're playing. I think, you know, there's not an offense left on the schedule that scares me. The one that will scare me a little bit is when we get to Charlotte, and if we do play North Carolina, you know, but you're playing the potential number one or number two pick in the NFL draft. But up until then, there's not an offense that scares me. And this is a team that's won 12 games in a row now, TJ, scoring 30 plus points in every single one of them. I don't see a loss left on the schedule. I just don't.
Yeah, it's hard to envision. I know that FPI has its, you know, pros and cons. But at this point, you know, FPI is saying that, you know, I mean, you just look at every game and none of them are incredibly close. You know, 80.7 against Duke. Again, I don't think that factors in the fact that Leonard's not even playing.
A good Duke team at that.
Yeah. Unlikely that they have their starter. 92% against Wake, 87% against Pittsburgh, 79% against Miami, 99% against North Alabama, obviously, and then 81% against Florida on the road. In a game that Florida's 5-2 at this point. I mean, we can make all the jokes we want. I still don't think they're great by any means, but man, they're 5-2. I didn't have them at 5-2 at this point. And ESPN's still saying, yeah, 80%, they still win on the road there. And so, yeah, I think that what Florida State is doing and just really what they've shown this year shows that they are truly one of the better teams. And, you know, I've seen people comment like, oh, well, they haven't played up to their full potential. And I think there's a glass half full, glass half empty approach to that and way to look at that. And that's, you know, the optimist is going to say, you know, we haven't played our best, but man, if we do, just watch out. And the pessimist is going to say, oh, we haven't played our best, so it's going to come back to bite us at some point. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, one of those two is going to be right. But I'm going to err on the side of the fact that we don't play any elite teams left. And, you know, I think Miami's a dumpster fire. I think that Duke with Leonard is probably the best team left on the schedule.
I think Florida's the toughest game still. Just that environment. And
who do you think would win between Miami and Florida on a neutral field?
Neutral field, I'd take Florida, or I'd take Duke, better coach.
No, sorry, Miami and Florida.
Neutral field, that's tough. I think
Miami's so bad away from.
Yeah, Miami is the more talented team, but I in a weird way, I still think Napier could be a decent coach there. I really do. A lot of Florida State fans are not happy with Mike in year two. I think Napier has a chance. I think Mario has zero chance of staying at Miami for the next 5 years.
Interesting. I think they're both gone, just for what it's worth.
I think so too, but I think Napier has the far better chance. I just don't. Mario is just, and they got to play Clemson this weekend, TJ. That's going to be three losses in a row. And it's going to be the classic Miami season. off season. We're recruiting well. We're back. Oh, we win some games early on. Big win against A&M. Oh, no, it's still the same Miami we expect. Three losses in a row after Clemson beats them this weekend, and they're probably going to finish 7-5, 6-6. Same story, but yeah. But I guess Mario has the bigger buyout, so I don't know, TJ. But yeah, that I'm not scared of either rival, but I do think going into the Swamp is a much more challenging environment than playing Miami, who I do think has better players overall in Doak.
Yeah, I agree. I think that what's tough is, you know, the teams, both of those teams are so Jekyll and Hyde. And, you know, at time, I mean, Florida's offense. Now, Florida's
good at home.
Yeah. And South Carolina stinks, right? So I don't want to overreact too much, but their offense looks, see, their offense is willing to like nickel and dime down the field. And to me, that's kind of a not matchup nightmare. Like, I'm not scared of it, but they're willing to just take like the 5 to 10 yards down the field at a time, right? And we're willing to give that up. And Mertz doesn't take a lot of risks. They run the ball okay, not as good as they did last year. So I think from a matchup standpoint, they worry me a little bit more offensively. Now, defensively, they are a dumpster fire, and we should score just about every possession. South Carolina is not a good team, and they basically did that. Miami, I think, is more boom or bust, and I think we're built to play against that. Now, that said, I think we win both games by double figures. Like, I'm not like scared of either game by any means. I just think Florida probably matches up just a little bit better. All right, we got a super chat here, so we'll read it. Let me play some noise here.
You're a recruit, and you ain't going to Florida State. What are you doing?
Where is Lucas Simmons? I'd assume he's at his apartment right now. I don't have a GPS on him. I assume this is asking about why he isn't playing. Probably because I haven't heard anything. Like, I don't know if there are like rumors swirling or anything out there about like why he's not playing or anything. But I mean, I would guess just because he's a true freshman and they've got a lot of depth on that offensive line. What do they have, like 15, 16 guys in the offensive line? And so by the time they rotate down to the third level of offensive line, I don't know how much playing time you're expecting a true freshman to get. I don't think Simmons is needed on this offensive line at this moment. Since you super chatted there, Brandon, if you want to put more context around that question, I'm happy to try and answer it. But yeah, I just think he's a true freshman, and you know, you got Armella in yesterday. You got some young guys in, but he's gonna have to take his chops and wait a little bit to play. I don't think true freshmen, you know, get in and make that big of an impact. I mean, unless there are like some rumors swirling or something that I'm not aware of. And that's how you mean that question. So if you clarify a little bit more, I'll catch what it, you don't even have to super chat it, Brandon. I'll catch your next question and we'll try and answer it. But all right, Garnet and Gold real quick. And then Richie, we'll move on a little bit big picture, but garnetandgold.com. Make sure that you're shopping there for all your FSU gear. If you're going to the game this weekend, do in-store pickup. You'll save on the shipping. Use code NOSLAW, NOSLAW, to get 15% off your order. It's the best deal around. Make sure that you're supporting Garnet and Gold. .com and in store. It's an 8 p.m. kickoff. You should be able to get over there in store. Tell them we sent you. See if the code works in store. It doesn't, but try. Give it a shot. They tell me every week, hey, this person tried to use the code in store. And I'm like, I tell them to use it online. I don't know. I don't know what you want me to say. So, all right, big picture. I tweet this out every week. It's quickly becoming my favorite thing to tweet out weekly, just because it's almost an automatic now with how Florida State just keeps winning and winning and winning. But this staff, this program started 3-10. Since then, Richie, they are 21-6 in their last 27 games. Norvell's squad has won 12 in a row and 16 of their last 19 games. I certainly don't think that after the Louisville loss to get to 0-4 in 2021, I could have convinced anyone that we were going to go 21-6 in our next 27 games. But we found a way to do that. So talk to me a little bit about just big picture where you feel like we're at.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at a team that's won 12 of their last 12 games, right? I don't think Florida's ever done that in their school history, 12 wins in a row. But this is it. this has been a phenomenal, phenomenal run for Florida State. And it was rough, right? We talk about that COVID season, how it doesn't really count. And people, and you know, rival fans like, oh, that's loser mentality. Looking back now, you can say, yeah, that didn't really count. He had nothing to work with. He was left a mess by Willie Taggart. And now we're where we're at. You know, big picture, I think we're most likely going to Charlotte. You got to take care of business. You know, Duke, again, they're a good team and really well coached. And I think Elko's going to be somewhere else in the near future. But just a really good team, but they don't have the athletes to match up with you. So that's a game you should win. Then you look at the rest of the schedule. Nothing really scares you along the way. You're going to get to Charlotte, what we're assuming. And like I said, you're probably playing North Carolina. And my goodness, Tez, are they happy they got Tez back, TJ? Because that guy is a hell of a receiver. Drake May, like I said, will be the number one or number two pick in the NFL draft. That will be a tough team to play against, but I think you can outscore them. Then you're looking at the playoff. Here we are 2 years ago, TJ, around this time, a couple weeks prior, we were talking about how we had just lost to Jacksonville State on a last-minute Hail Mary. Oh. And now we're talking about what's stopping us from getting to the playoff. Like this program, you know, to use Mike Norvell's word, we have been climbing and we are in a good spot right now. And look around the country, even the dominant teams, you mentioned it, TJ, Georgia, they won comfortably, but they have no business winning that game by 17 points. They should have won that game. They were favored by 32.5, I think, you know. Florida State comes out and gives up one field goal. You know, they were a missed field goal from getting a spiked baseball from Chip Baker. It's just crazy. Florida State is in a really good spot right now. And I think the most surprising result for me Saturday was seeing what Pitt did to Louisville, TJ.
Yeah, so ACC, just, you know, what it looks like going forward. I was going to do a weekly thing on how, you know, Louisville and North Carolina us were tied and what the percentages were and that was a fun video. Cause like breaking down the percentages was fun. I'm kind of a math nerd. It was fun to like, I don't know, get out the spreadsheet and do all the percentages on the opponents. And, you know, I got all these calculations running and I was ready to update them all this week too. But the ACC, listen, it is. So you remember when we used to tweet go ACC? Like that was like the thing, like, oh, go ACC. It was sarcasm because
I never tweeted that.
No, it was like a sarcastic way of saying it. Like, yeah. Oh, go AC. You know, like when it finished 0-0 and Frank Beamer was doing that, like people tweeted.
Oh, that was the best meme ever.
So it's very go ACC for a team that's undefeated to go into a one win Pittsburgh and find a way to lose that. Like Louisville's got an inside track to the ACC championship and the playoff if they could have won against us and they blow it. So Louisville had the easier road too. North Carolina is going to have to beat is going to have to beat Clemson. They obviously had to beat Miami last night. They have to beat Duke. They have to win at NC State. Like there's a lot of stuff that North Carolina still has to do. I wouldn't say Louisville's road is easy, but it was easier than North Carolina's was for sure. And yeah, they went out and blew it. So, ACC championship, you were mentioning Tez Walker, you know, looks like it's, you know, at this point, you know, a North Carolina versus Florida State thing. North Carolina at this point, I think would have to, you know, at this point would almost have to like drop two.
Yeah.
Or if they dropped one, it would come down to like a Louisville, tie break situation. Duke's still in there as well. And I don't mean to just totally overlook them, but because I'm just going to ruin my Wednesday night prediction now. I'm predicting us to beat Duke. I think they're quickly going to be out of it. I think they're going to try their very best to keep their heads above water with Riley Leonard. And hopefully he'll be back. Like, you know, I would love if there was a way, which there is, Duke plays North Carolina late in the year. I would love if there was a way, first of all, that we didn't have to play Tez Walker, not to be such a scaredy cat there, but yeah, I'm good on playing that kid. Second, I would love if like we beat Duke, get it out of the way. I think we'd win that game one way or the other, but maybe Leonard can come back after that and they can kind of run the table from there. That way they can get, you know, if they beat North Carolina, they'll be in the ACC championship. That'd be cool for them to kind of like have a little redemption, get back in it. You know, they're not going to compete for the playoff this year at this point, but I think that it'd be cool if they could get back in there with Leonard playing. So hopefully he can be back for the game after ours. I hate to suggest this. I hate to say that this is like what I think is happening, but if I'm Duke, I wasn't like, if there was any question about Riley Leonard, like I wasn't playing him against Florida State. Yeah, you know, like there's no chance that I would take that risk. You're going to play Louisville next week, get him healthy by another week, let him go out there and take on Louisville if he can make it. And then if you win that game, I think the rest of the schedule sets up for you to, you know, you're going to have to beat UNC, but they play Wake, Virginia, Pittsburgh. I mean, they could win all those games. So beat Louisville, beat UNC. I'd love for a rematch with Duke. Well, you'd rather a rematch with Duke over playing UNC, right?
Yeah, probably, but you know, at the same time, you're probably going to get a team like a Washington, right, in the playoff. So maybe playing that North Carolina offense, you know, obviously you want the easiest road to the playoff, which would be Duke over UNC, in my opinion. But I wouldn't hate playing UNC because I think you can outscore them. That's a 45-38 type game, I think, in my opinion. But yeah, I'd rather have the guarantee, and there's no guarantees in college football, but the easier game to get to the playoff and then figure it out from there at that point, because you just need to be able to say you've been to the playoff two times now since it started, and next year it goes to 12 teams, and I don't know if Florida State will be a top 12 team next year, but man, being able to say you went to the playoff, you know, recruits listen to that, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, and talking about next year, I think they've got a decent chance. I think what's going to help Florida State is being ranked high early.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you start out in the top five, you know, you don't drop as much, you get a couple of wins, you know, 9-3 might get you in there, but that's a long way from now. Let's win it all this year and then talk about that. So, Duke, we'll talk about a little bit more as the year goes on. Miami, very likely out of the ACC race. I saw a comment about, you know, Clemson's still kind of in it. I don't think Clemson's in it. They need a lot of help. They would need Duke to lose two more times, which is possible. But for Duke to lose two more times, like, who are they losing to, right? Like, well, if they lose to us in Louisville, then Louisville's in it. And if they lose to us in North Carolina, then North Carolina's in it. So Duke needs, you know, if Florida State and North Carolina win out, I mean, obviously they're not going to get in. And excuse me, North Carolina plays Clemson. So even with that, North Carolina would need to lose another game. Well, who's that game going to be to theoretically? Well, if it's to Duke, then Duke's in and Clemson's out because of that tiebreaker. So I was worried earlier in the year, Richie, about Clemson potentially getting back into it, but I think they're pretty far out of it. Watching that Miami game last night, did you watch it? Did you catch the replay? Where were you on the Miami game? Have you seen some of the highlights or whatever? It was good to see them not be – the one thing I was happy about with that Miami game is that Mario Cristobal was not put in a situation to have to make a late game kneel down or not. I was worried about that. I didn't want those kids to have to go through that again. And so I thought it was good that North Carolina took any chance of that away.
Yeah, I didn't watch a second of the game. I'm not going to lie. It was a long day for me. Again, started at a one-year-old's birthday party. Surprisingly exhausting. So for you guys with kids, you know, good on you, because I didn't realize just how much that is. But at Miami, they knew what they were getting with Mario Cristobal. They're going to have a very talented team, and the coaching on field on Saturdays is going to be very mediocre. You know, he's getting paid a lot of money and not earning it. He will work his staff to no end when it comes to recruiting, but he just doesn't know what to do on the field on game day. And it shows. And it look, last week wasn't the first time he's failed at his team. You know, even when the Tyler Van Dyke took the spike with 2 seconds left, that's on your head coach to know that. Say, no, we can't spike it here. We got to throw the ball. Because if you remember that game, TJ, when we beat Miami, Mike Norvell immediately ran to the ref and said, hey, he can't spike that. He knew that right away. Mario is just not a smart football coach. So, again, he's going to have a talented roster, and I do think that'll be a tough game because we're going to get their best shot. But luckily, like I said, they're going to have three losses in a row after Clemson this week. And to your point, Clemson's the one team I would not want to see in Charlotte because I think they're the one team most likely to beat us if we were to play them in there.
It's crazy how back-to-back years we really have made bad Clemson quarterbacks look good. Like if you watch Klubnik at all this year, like he's not great.
No. Yeah.
And DJ Uiagalelei was not good last year either, and we made him look like
a Heisman.
Yeah, and so, yeah, that's what I'm worried about. You could say all you want about, oh, Clemson this, Clemson that, but, like, man, seeing him again.
Their defense is what worries me. That defense might be top three in the country, honestly.
They're legit, and they did a good job of taking weapons away when we were up there. So, all right, some recruiting news, nuggets. I think that's all we have until we get to kind of let's talk a little recruiting. Artavis Jones was at the game this weekend. He's a Miami commit from right down the road in, I believe, Blountstown, Florida. Coming back this weekend. I don't know that I'm ready to say that he's like a for sure flip or anything, but talked to some people that basically said like wouldn't be surprised with anything that he does, and then talked with somebody else who told me, yeah, I think he's going to be ours. So stealing from Miami right at this point would be great to me. Artavis Jones, 4-star defensive lineman out of Blountstown, Florida, was at the game this weekend and then said, you know what? I had such a good time. I'm going to come back next weekend. There's some folks that think Florida State has a good chance to land him, maybe even after the Duke game. So go out, win. You're obviously going to try and put a show on when you've got recruits in town. Sounds like Charles Lester will be in town. There's been concern or talk around Charles Lester just because he's visited UF and talked about going back there. I don't really have a lot of concern about Lester at all, but glad that he is going to be in town for this Duke game, a night game in Tallahassee. I'm actually going to be in Tallahassee on Thursday night, but I'm coming back on Friday morning, and I don't know. I can't fight that fight, but I do wish that I was staying for the game now that it's like a night game and going to be super lit. So if you're going to the game, I'm super, super, super jealous. Hopefully you have a good time. I'll probably end up giving my tickets away. Listen, shout out to you. I posted like, hey, whoever wants these tickets can have them if you go donate to the Battle's End. So maybe that's a good time to plug the Battle's End while we're talking recruiting. There's also a lot of talk around LJ McCray, who is committing on Saturday. I don't think a time has been announced just yet, but there's a lot of smoke around Florida State, Georgia, and Florida for that. We will probably have a full-on LJ McCray video this week, so make sure you're locked into the channel for that. I've been chatting with a couple of people. I may even bring on a Florida, Georgia, and Florida State guy to talk about it, kind of like do a little LJ McCray roundtable. I think that'd be fun. So a lot of recruiting news. I think that as you continue to win, as you're at, you know, 6-0, 7-0, 8-0, as you continue to increase those wins, I think you're going to see that more and more and more. And so I like what they're doing on the recruiting, on the trail, Richie. I think, you know, you can always want improvement. You can always want a little better here or there. But recruiting may take off here with some big, big targets, some top 10 type targets over the next few weeks. And this is, you know, at the end of the day, kind of what we preached, right? You know, have some patience, win some games, show the recruits that you're not incompetent, and you'll start to land some guys.
Yeah, and again, that's what we were saying. You know, everyone was giving Mike a hard time for his recruiting when he first got here, despite overlooking the fact that he had no connections to the Southeast. Oh, by the way, it was COVID. He couldn't host recruits. He couldn't go visit recruits. He couldn't even see them for the first year he was here. And then slowly but surely, the climb again has happened, and now you're 6-0, number 4 in the country. And yeah, recruits are more than willing to sign up to play for Florida State at this point. You know, the patience, I don't know if Mike would have made it if we weren't still paying Willie, but my goodness, did we, I'm not going to say hit the jackpot, but we hit a home run here with Mike Norvell.
It feels good. Good to be in this situation after where we were not too long ago. So, all right, there are some, we'll talk a little bit more about some of these this weekend, but there are some big games with Yeah, who knows? All right. All right, Richie, that's all I got. You got any shout outs or anything? And then we'll get out of here.
Real quick. Yeah. Shout out. If you like the hat I'm wearing right now, universitytraditions.biz, go check them out. They just released their Tallahassee line this week and I love it. I have a white one as well. And then I want to shout out Brooks Koepka, went back to back in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, winning the LIV championship there for the second year in a row. So, you know, I'm the biggest Brooks homer in the world and I will shout him out every chance I get.
Yo, we have a big, I think Whoa. It was all of YouTube. I don't think it was me or you, bro. I think it was like all of YouTube. So,
okay.
you know, you're saved there. So, all right, John.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Nose win.
Put a smile on your face. Okay, because Florida State, if we going to do it then, we do it big. Let's go, baby.
Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Give me that top spot for that throne from Thorne. Let's celebrate this one. And enough complaining this season. We know who we are now. Enjoy it for the love of God. Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's hard for me to complain. John, thank you for the love very much. It's hard for me to complain about, man, we lost about 80 viewers. So I don't know if that was on YouTube or our system that we use, but we were like,
I think the stream went down. Yeah. Cause someone said it was frozen. So it wasn't just you or I, and I wanted to
anyway, I wanted to blame you. John, thank you for the love. No, I'm in complete agreement. You know, the complaining, the whining, you know, is this team, I think, you know, you think like, oh, we're going to be so dumb. We're going to be so good that we're just going to UGA 2021, everyone, you know, and like, that's just not realistic. You know, you're going to struggle at times, but I went by 40 this week. I don't know what else people really want. You know, could they have won by 60? I mean, yeah, I guess if they scored on every drive. But like, come on, guys, let's be real for a little bit. You know, you're gonna have other teams are gonna make plays too. So, all right, I don't have a ton else, Richie. We'll be back with a ton of content this week. We'll be back on Wednesday night live. If you're watching, if you enjoyed this, if the stream didn't cut you off and kind of screw you over, hit the subscribe button. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Appreciate you guys for all the love, the support. We'll talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.